coming to you loud and clear from our safe and germ-free homes and on Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, filling in for Tom Clark, and as always, we're here to talk with you about what's new in healthy living, share some down-to-earth advice and great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. And as usual, Zorba, we have a few topics to talk about.
Well, we're going to talk about the importance of pets in your life. Now, a lot of you know I have a dog. We've always had a dog. We love our dogs. We're going to talk about dogs, cats, what they mean in your life, and really what they mean during the time of COVID, lockdowns, pandemics, all of the issues surrounding that. And then on the other side of the rainbow, we have to talk about plastics, what the EPA says, what the UN says, what it means to us about plastics, what we can do about plastics. They are important in the manufacturing of so many products, but they're also in the waste stream, and what shall we do about that?
And what is our special recipe today?
It's a wonderful recipe. Wonderful, wonderful. Queso fundido with zucchini and squash. Mm. If you like lots and lots of taste, if you're into something that tastes really good, and especially if you don't cook any Mexican food at all, this is a recipe for you. Easy to do. You're going to love it.
I love it. Sounds great. 800-462-7413 is the number to call, where you can leave a voicemail anytime with your question for Dr. Zorba. And stay tuned. You just might hear yourself on an upcoming episode of the show. That's 800-462-7413. I'm also happy to announce later in the show, we'll hear from Tom Clark in his highly experimental test kitchen for the recipe segment. Lots going on. Lots of test tubes and beakers.
Barely experimental pre-test kitchen. Just like there was the pre-SAT, there's the pre-test kitchen that Tom Clark is notorious for, absolutely notorious. We call him Tom the pre-cooker.
Can't you see a bunch of melted cheese in test tubes and beakers, just trying different mixes
out? Oh, with one of those funny chef hats? Yeah. I wondered about what is the difference in a chef hat if it's sort of straight up, you know, the white hat, and right. It's kind of plopped down. Does it mean something different if you're a chef? Does it mean something different?
I just think it means maybe the yeast didn't rise. Oh, man. All right.
We are not going down that rabbit hole.
That's right. We've been combing through your voicemails. Listeners have left us. And let's now hear one of those. Let's kick things off with the caller in. Actually, Zorba, let's do trivia. I know you love doing trivia. Should we do that again?
I love it.
Okay. This is city trivia. Guess the city the caller's from. I'm going to give you three musicians this time. These are three musicians who are from this quaint Midwestern city. You ready?
Yeah. I'm as ready as I'll ever be. Go ahead.
Okay. Are you a smooth jazz guy?
I listen to jazz. Yeah, I listen to smooth jazz. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right. This city is home to smooth jazz guitarist Ken Navarro. Have you heard of him?
Uh-huh. No, of course not. Go ahead.
Okay. That's okay. How about, do you like heavy metal or rock, hard rock?
Yeah, right. My wife and I listen to hard rock every night when we're trying to go to sleep. We always put it on. We especially like Meatloaf. That's who we listen to every single night. Nice. We sing, I'll do anything. You know, what's the name of that famous song?
I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Yeah, I won't do that. That's what we listen to every night before we go to sleep, of course.
That could be a story. All right, this another musician in the more hard rock, Axl Rose. Do you know who that is?
Yeah,
Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
yeah, I know
he's from this
Roses.
Town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is also the hometown of Shannon Hoon.
Never heard of him.
Lead singer
never
of Blind Melon. Have you heard of Blind Melon?
Never heard of Blind Melon.
This is a great segment so far. Great start.
I do eat melons, but I don't know a Blind Melon. Okay,
so we got melons. We got Meatloaf.
I got Axl. Okay.
How about Purdue University? Do you know where that is?
Oh, yeah. That I know. Indiana.
There you go. There you go. Yep.
And it's Lafayette.
You got it.
Lafayette,
didn't take much.
Indiana.
You got it.
No, it didn't. Well, it's Purdue. Come on. I mean, that's really kind of what it's known for.
There it is. All right. Let's hear from Lafayette, Indiana.
Hi. I was curious. They say that the flu vaccine may help with the effects of coronavirus. In the military and for government, you can also get a vaccine for adenovirus 7 and adenovirus 4, which is, I think, more helpful than the flu vaccine. I just wonder why they're not using that as well. Thank you.
Good question. It's actually, none of those will actually help with COVID, not at all. The issue is if you get an adenovirus or if you end up getting influenza and you get COVID, then you're going to be much, much worse. So the reason we recommend everyone get an influenza vaccine, we don't give the adenovirus vaccines. They're not given out except in the military, as far as I know. But the reason why we recommend the influenza vaccine is you don't want to get influenza, because if you get influenza and you get COVID, that is a bad combination. So the flu vaccine doesn't work against COVID, but the flu vaccine works against flu, and that means it's less likely you're going to get sick if you get COVID.
800-462-7413 is the number to call anytime. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's keep the calls rolling in, Zorba. Here is a voicemail from a caller in Western New York.
This is kind of unusual. I'm 67 years old, and I have situs inversus, which means all my internal organs are reversed. I've heard myths about it, that I had been a twin in, you know, utero and all that. But what I'm wondering is there anything I should be aware of in case I develop any kind of a problem? And I love you guys. I think you're terrific, and thank you so much. Bye now.
How nice. How nice that she loves us. Mm-hmm. That's really very sweet. Well, situs inversus, it actually is where everything is reversed. That's exactly it. So your heart isn't on the left side. Your heart's on your right side. The organs are reversed. Obviously, even the kidneys, you have two kidneys, but where they are on the, basically, if you look in your circulatory system, you know, one is higher than the other, and that's reversed too. The issue with situs inversus, and she's 67, is some people actually have cardiac problems from it. She made it to 67. Clearly, she wasn't one of those people. So is she at a greater risk? I don't necessarily think so. If you actually get an infection, the things that will tend to make you at a greater risk for getting an infection, such as influenza or COVID, would be more likely to be diabetes, which really affects the ability to fight an infection. And as far as I know, situs inversus does not do that. So the reality is you made it to 67. You're healthy. The real issue is to stay healthy. Like we know, eat a Mediterranean diet, stay away from the toxins such as smoking, exercise, do something every single day, get off your butt and start moving just like everybody else, but no special precautions, but worthwhile to teach other people about it. It is a very rare thing. I don't remember how often it happens, but it doesn't happen very often. Come to our website, zorbapastor.org, if you want to learn about situs inversus.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413 is the number to call anytime. Leave a message with a question for Zorba to answer. And we're going to get back to those voicemails in just a bit. But first, Zorba, to get us into our first topic today, how are pets helping people during this pandemic lockdown?
Do you have a pet right now?
Yes, we do. We have a dog. Yep. She's 14 uh-huh. years old, but she's going strong.
She's 14 years old. What kind of dog is it?
She is a brown dog, is what we say.
A brown dog. Okay, so she's
We're not sure. She was a rescue, and she's got some Jack Russell in her. She's got some Beagle.
How long have you had her?
13 and a half years. We got her when she was like 6 months. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So you're connected with your dog, right?
Oh, very much, yeah.
Very much so. Dog's part of the family. You know, and I'll tell you, we've had dogs that have died, and when our dogs died, the last dog that died, I got more condolence card for my dog than I did for my dad when my dad died 20 years ago. And the reason is we're so connected to pets. And there's some issues that are important. If you look during the pandemic, it's hard actually to get a pet. Rescue pets, certainly in our area in Wisconsin, are actually hard to get. They're actually going down to the south. They're trying to get rescue pets from other areas of the country where they're much more common in places like Texas, where they just have more people and they're more, obviously for some reason, they're more rescue dogs. And so these particular articles, there are a series of articles that have shown that having a pet, especially having a dog, having a cat too, really makes a difference in terms of how you feel. And I find this quite interesting because when I wrote my book, The Longevity Code, Your Personal Prescription for a Longer, Sweeter Life, when I looked at the social sphere wasn't just friends and family. It was also pets because we talk to them, we relate to them. I'm a dog person, so I love it when a dog comes, when I come into the house and the dog greets me. I do love cats. If we had a cat, I would feel the same way. And even fish. I'm not a fish person, but I love looking at fish. There's something about our connection with biophilia. Have you ever heard the word biophilia, Carol?
This is the first time, no.
So biophilia, philia means love. Bio is biology. And biophilia is the desire to be with plants and animals. I mean, why do we bring green plants into the house? Why do we bring flowers into the house? Why do we like fresh flowers better than plastic flowers? I mean, we may like plastic flowers because we put them to the side, but there's something about fresh flowers in the field, and it's living, and it's our connection with other living beings. And so pets are important. And during this time of COVID, during the economic times that we have, you know, of distress, I think pets are even more important than ever to sort of keep us regular. And if you don't have a pet and you're stressed out and you're upset, this may be a time for you to consider a pet and actually try to go and get one. Because believe me, the studies have shown more and more that you get a reduction from stress hormones when you have a pet. And the most recent studies show in this time of stress, it's even more important than ever.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Call anytime. Let's go back to those voicemails. Let's now hear from a caller in Wisconsin.
I want to know, Zorba, how do healthcare providers who are wearing masks all day long stop the fogging up of the glasses if they wear glasses? Thank you.
Well, I have a simple answer to that, and I'll tell you the answer. The answer came from Annie Berry. Annie Berry is my friend, my friend's Dan and Kay Berry's child. They grew up with our children. Annie's a doc, and she pulled something off of a Facebook page, which was from a neurosurgeon, and the neurosurgeon wondered how could he keep his glasses from fogging up during surgery. She made a side comment. You know those neurosurgeons, they're just so smart. And what he did was, you put a Band-Aid on the mask just below your eyes. And so basic, you got it?
Yeah.
Got it? So you put the Band-Aid on your nose. And so basically, the air is not coming up to that area, and it stops fogging up your glasses. So the answer is a Band-Aid on the top of the mask, just underneath where your glasses will fit, will keep it from fogging. I've tried it out. I don't wear glasses all the time, but I do wear glasses occasionally. And you know what? It works.
It works. You see other people at your clinic doing that?
No, we wear a surgical mask, and they're a little bit looser on there. I haven't seen other people do it. But I have seen my friends do it all the time. You know, the reason why a lot of people don't do it is it looks so geeky. It just looks nerdy. It looks like, why do you have that Band-Aid? But you know what? If you want to keep your glasses from fogging up, do it.
There's a movie called Bottle Rocket that came out years ago, and it's one of my favorites. And this group is
like a teenage movie or something.
No, it's Owen Wilson and Luke Wilson. You remember them? Mm-hmm. Yep. It was one of their first movies they were in together, and they were kind of this group of misfits, and they were trying to like do these heists. And for one of these robberies, I think they were going to rob a gas station or something. And Owen Wilson's character, right, they're getting ready in the car in the parking lot right about before they go in and rob the place. And he puts a Band-Aid right on his nose for they're not really sure why. And his brother says, why are you doing that? And he says, exactly. I think it was going to distract maybe the clerk or something, and it would throw him off, or I don't really know.
Anyway, now we've got a mental cue from Carl on what we should do.
Yep, Band-Aids on the nose. All right, before you rob a bank. 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413 is the number to call anytime. But before we take a quick break, Zorba, let's check in again with your favorite nitpickers.
Let me guess. The Grammar Police. You know, people stop me on the street and correct my English. I have to tell you, even when I'm not saying anything.
That's a curse. One of the curses of the job.
I mean, they stop me. They don't say, hi, Zorba, I like your show. It's, hi, Zorba, let me tell you what you said last week on the show. The grammar wasn't proper. I thought to myself, oh, my God, what are these people? They're the nitpickers. Go for it, Carl.
All right. This email came to us from an anonymous listener in Knoxville, Tennessee, who writes, Zorba, you recently had a caller talk about, quote-unquote very unique being incorrect. Well, my turn. And then they put a they put a smiley face emoji here, so maybe that'll soften the blow of this. Mm-hmm. The COVID-19 buzz catchphrase is social distancing. However, we cannot socially distance. We can physically distance. Therefore, we are physically distanced while being socially engaged. This is one of my grammatical pet peeves. Trust me, I have more. And I believe that, for sure.
I believe you, sir. So we should say physical distance.
They go on. I have seen a few instances where businesses or agencies get it correct, but they are in the minority. Do you think perhaps you can be the one who gets this correct and sets the new standard? What do you think? Are you going to try to change this?
You know what? And there's only so much time in my day. I'll put this on my bucket list. It'll be number 157, subgroup A3. And if I get to that number 157, I'll do it. But he brings up an interesting point, and there are interesting points here. Language is alive. Mm-hmm. And socially distance, you know, because every year the Oxford English Dictionary and other comes up, you know, with the word or the phrase of the year. And believe me, socially distance or socially distance yourself definitely will become a new phrase in the English language. It will undoubtedly be in Webster's Dictionary. And when that happens, this grammarian will feel good because he'll know that he, even though he was right at the beginning, the language changed so that he can feel bright and right when this incorrect word is then part of our language de novo. Noah Webster, thank you.
It's going to drive them nuts when they see it finally on paper and it's it's everywhere.
But you know the grammarians, they go through life and it's like those little bubbles. You know, when they hear people talking incorrectly, a bubble pops up. No, that's wrong. No, that's wrong. No, this is wrong. No, that's wrong. Because if they correct them, some of those people will not socially distance from themselves. They may actually come right up to their face and say, hey, buddy, what are you talking about the way I speak? This is my life.
Do you think Zorba should try to modify a commonly used COVID-19 pandemic term while many people are still having difficulty following common sense guidelines that may help shorten the pandemic?
That is a really long sentence.
Sorry, that was a little pointed.
I mean, if you don't speak English, there are just too many words in that sentence to make sense. But if you like the sentence, go to zorbapastor.org. That's zorbapastor.org. Or, of course, through Facebook.
All right. Many more of your calls coming up. We have more of your emails as well. And Zorba and local celebrity chef Tom Clark will be serving up a tasty party time dip in Tom's Test Kitchen. All that's coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Christensen filling in for Tom Clark on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Now, there are plenty of reasons to listen to this show, plenty. And one of those reasons is to see what Chef Tom Clark is cooking up from his impressive menu. So let's head over to Tom's kitchen where Zorba and Tom are busy working on a delicious party time appetizer, queso fundido with zucchini and squash.
Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor. Carl will be back in just a few minutes, but the best part of the show now, recipe time.
The best part of the show, of course.
What do we have, Zorba?
Well, we have something called queso fundido with zucchini and squash. Now, Tom, do you like squash? Do you eat squash ever? Do you eat much squash?
I don't. I don't particularly, no.
Did your mother make squash?
No.
How about Mexican food? Did you eat that as a kid?
No. My mother was working. And it took a long time to get to and from work. So whatever was easy, what could go in a, what do you call it, crock pot, whatever, what was easy, she could do.
This is a wonderful queso fundido. So queso is really, it's using basically, it's a Mexican sort of cheese dip. Now, what's nice about this dip is when you make it, you won't have to share it with anyone because it's COVID time. So nobody will be coming into your house to share this dip unless you're not following the rules and you're having a party.
Okay.
Are you going to watch the Super Bowl?
Probably not.
You're not going to watch, like, the commercials on the Super
Bowl?
I'm not
a big football fan. Yeah. Basketball is my
Basketball yeah. is exactly what you are. You live and die UW basketball,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Well, we're out of time, folks, for the recipe.
Okay. We're not great. All right. So let's start out with ingredients. Start out with a tablespoonful of olive oil.
Big tea olive oil.
1/2 onion, yellow onion if you've got it, but any onion that you have will be great, thinly sliced.
Mm-hmm. 1/2 an onion.
1 yellow squash, get rid of the ends and thinly slice the squash.
Yellow squash.
1 zucchini, again, trim the ends and thinly slice it.
1 zucchini.
1 cup of mozzarella cheese shredded.
A cup of mozzarella cheese shredded.
Or a cup of Monterey Jack cheese shredded also.
Cup of Monterey Jack cheese.
1/2 a cup of beer, preferably a lager beer. Do not use a hot beer. I can see the smile on your face when
half
I said
beer. 1/2 a cup of beer, okay.
Now, you're going to need some salt. You're going to need your favorite hot sauce. And if you like cilantro, you're going to need cilantro. And if you don't have cilantro or you don't like it, some people do not like the taste of it, you could easily put in parsley. And then you're going to need some tortilla chips for serving. So are you ready to make it?
Sure.
as if you actually.
Hey, it's radio. But I can pretend.
You can add. That's right. Radio. You know, I mean, that's exactly what it is. So, okay, here's how we do it. In an oven-proof pan, put it over medium heat, add the olive oil. And when the olive oil is hot, starts to smoke, then add the yellow onion, squash, and zucchini. And sprinkle the zucchini with a couple of pinches of salt because that will help the zucchini and the squash release some of its water. Then cook it in the onion mixture, stirring kind of continuously for about 20 minutes, nice and low. Low is go here. Mm-hmm. Slow is pro until it's caramelized and light brown. If you do it too quick, it will change the taste. Then add the beer. Once again, you're going to use 1/2 a cup of beer, and you can also drink the rest of the beer if you want to. Simmer, stirring occasionally. Mix in the hot sauce, enough to give it the taste. Taste it. Adjust the salt for the, you know, adjust the salt for the seasoning, keeping in mind exactly the fact that you are going to put in cheese, and the cheese itself is salty. Then spread the squash and onion mixture and a nice even layer. Top with the 2 cheeses that you have. Transfer it to the broiler and broil it for 5 minutes, watching it really, really carefully so it's brown but doesn't get hot and burn. And then sprinkle the top with either cilantro or parsley. And when it's hot, you can take out those chips and dip away and enjoy your favorite thing on television. Or maybe just enjoy the other person in your life. Or maybe just enjoy being by yourself and having the dip. It is a great, great dip.
Cheese and cheese and cheese. Another heart-healthy recipe from Zorba Pastor.
No. A Wisconsin healthy recipe. You've got it right. It's a Wisconsin healthy recipe. Every time we say the word cheese, it's good for our economy. So I hope everyone got that recipe, even though they were probably driving in their car.
Yeah. Well, be sure to tune in next week. Another heart recipe.
No, wait. Let me get this to the
one,
website.
This one, a cheeseburger. French fries and chocolate malt.
So go to ZorbaPastor.org. That's ZorbaPastor.org or across through Facebook. And as Tom said, next week we'll have a high-fat recipe for everyone.
We'll stick around for more of the show. Let's send it back to Carl now. Carl, go ahead.
Thanks, Tom. 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Call anytime. But before we get back to our callers, let's take a moment for a quick technology update. Should we do that? Let's do a technology update. We've never done this before, Zora. Yeah, this is a new thing.
Yeah, where's the music?
Hey, Brad, technology update?
Time for technology update.
That's my 5-year-old Otis.
Let me hear it again. I want to hear it again. Do it again. Do it again.
Time for technology update.
I love it. I love
Pretty
it.
Good,
what
right?
a great voice. What a great voice. Go, Otis, go.
Oh, I had to bribe him quite a bit to get him to do that, actually. A lot of candy involved.
I was gonna, that's right. That's right. But he did a great job.
He did a great job. Good job, Otis. Yes, we do use technology on the show. And I'm happy to announce we are now set up. This is New Zorba. We're set up. If you want to hear the show anytime and you have an Alexa smart speaker, you can say, Alexa, play Zorba Pastor On Your Health. And through the magic of who knows what, the show will just play. Isn't that cool? We can do that now.
That is great.
Do you have one of those smart speakers, Zorba?
I turned it off.
Okay.
I don't want it to listen to me all the time. I mean, I turned it off, put it up there, and I thought, you know, I just turned it on, and I thought, well, I'll just turn it on when I need it. But the fact is, you turn it on, and it's there.
Yep.
It's listening.
It's always there.
Listening. It's always there. Listen, I read 1984.
Uh-oh.
I ain't turning that stuff on.
All right. Speaking of smart speakers, we have some of the smartest listeners around. So let's now hear from a caller in Jacksonville, Florida.
I was wondering, I get dandruff every single winter, and I was wondering about some remedies I could do to solve this problem. Thank you, and have a good day.
You bet. Dandruff, big problem. And basically, the first thing I would do is Selsun Blue. Selsun, S-E-L-S-U-N. Easy, inexpensive. Selsun Blue is great. Put it on your scalp. You leave it on your scalp. Get a shower cap. Leave it on your scalp for 5 minutes. So you can sit in the shower for 5 minutes, have that nice warm water, but make sure the Selsun Blue sits on there. And do that every day for like maybe 5 to 7 days. You usually get it under control. And then use Selsun Blue or another anti-dandruff shampoo of your choice, and just use that once or twice a week, and that'll usually keep it under control. Tends to be a winter condition because winter is often more dry, not unusual. And there are a lot of other good anti-dandruff shampoos, but the favorite that I recommend because it has selenium is Selsun Blue.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. That's the number to call if you'd like to leave us a question anytime. And Zorba, we get so many of those calls. We get so many voicemails from our wonderful listeners with so many great questions. But we also get calls from helpful listeners who offer up their comments and their health tips. So let's take some time now to hear a few of these calls. This is Caller Comments.
This is a bunch of caller comments. People calling us with their health tips.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
Don't we appreciate it, Zorba?
I've been thinking about that. I am meditating on it right now. I'm in my zone.
You can tell us later.
Zone. But okay. The answer is we actually do appreciate it.
Okay, good.
We do like all those comments. The good comments, the bad comments, it helps keep our show going. It's been going for a rather long time, and caller comments are a big part of it.
All right, let's hear the first caller comment. This is a listener in Wisconsin.
I had a comment about today's show. When Tom was describing the pronunciation police, he mispronounced the word pronunciation. So there you have it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. Pronunciation. He's exactly right. But, you know, he's the type of guy who probably says February instead of February. You know, I mean, let's, you know, you think about the words that we kind of slur, that we shorten up because they're too long. Now, COVID, we say COVID. We don't say COVID, you know, but you take some of the other words that we say. Nothing is coming to my
coven
mind.
Coven or coven? Is it coven or coven?
I'll tell you something. Diabetes and diabetes.
Oh, yeah.
And so people often say diabetes. Doctors say diabetes. And it's actually diabetes. And my daughter corrected me because I said diabetes. And she said, why aren't you pronouncing diabetes? And I said, I don't know. Diabetes is easier. And she said, easier? Think about that, Dad. Diabetes? Diabetes. And so I thought, right, I'm just using a slang term for the same thing.
Yeah, regarding diabetes, I blame the number one oatmeal salesman in the world, Wilford Brimley, on that. Remember those diabetes commercials where he would say, diabetes? Like, he pronounced it diabetes.
Oh,
I think maybe
that
started
it. Commercial?
I think it was Wilford's fault.
Yeah, I don't even know who you're talking about.
You don't know the actor Wilford Brimley from Cocoon? He was in so many movies.
Yeah, I probably would know him
you
if
know,
I saw him.
Big mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Big kind of walrus-looking guy.
Was he doing a commercial for, like, people should get diabetes? Was that it?
He was selling diabetes.
He was selling diabetes. You know, is that like the Publisher's Clearinghouse?
Just sprinkle some on your oatmeal.
I like it. I like it. Eat some sugar, get diabetes, and then you can buy our product. Get rid of your diabetes.
I feel like we're going to get a lot of calls on this one. Yep, exactly. All right. I hope I don't pronounce this one wrong. This is a caller in Albion, New York.
I'm sad to hear the doctor on NPR say that if you're depressed from COVID, you should seriously consider medication. I thought that NPR, out of all places, might have added the fact that exercise alone works 30% better than meds and has no negative side effects and no addictive qualities. And tell people that they could also add meditation to their exercise program. Do a little yoga in your house. Take a walk along the beach, a road, a woods, whatever you can do to get out there and naturally combat the fatigue and depression of having COVID or living in a COVID world. Thank you. God bless you. We love you.
Now, I got to come to your defense here, Zorba. Yeah. I don't think you've said just try medicine for
no,
this.
No, but actually, she is spot on.
Right,
she
about
said,
exercise, yeah.
No, she's spot on with that 30% number. In other words, it's roughly 30% of the people, if they do meditation, if they go out, if they exercise, if they engage in some sort of talk therapy, do get better with their depression. So I think she is spot on in bringing that up. Of course, I never said if you're depressed, you have to take a pill, because I don't say things like that. However, antidepressants do play a role. Sometimes they kickstart things. So you're on them for like 6 to 12 weeks and you get over that dark part and then you can let natural cures get in. But I think she's exactly right. If you're depressed from COVID, get out. I mean, you know, this whole thing with the pandemic, certainly for me, and I'm sure for you, Carol, also, I feel sometimes like there's just an umbrella over our head, like a negative umbrella. And I was calling our good friends just yesterday, and I said, when are we going to see you? You know, because it's cold. You know, when are we going to see you and have dinner? And the answer was, I don't know. We hope to see you in the spring or in the summer. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't plan that far in advance in the spring and the summer. I'd like to go see you and have dinner this week. Now, we can walk with them outside. I mean, it's kind of chilly in the winter. But there's just something about sitting down, baking bread, having a drink, and sitting and talking to people that we miss. And I think she brings up a good point. If you can get outside, if you can walk, if you can move, that may really help your COVID depression. But frankly, if you're not better, medications help too. And in the middle of the wintertime, so does a sun lamp, an SAD light that costs about $29.95 now, and a variety of websites. That also helps. Anything you can do to get over your COVID stress or COVID depression, do natural or pharmaceutical.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, we got lots of great comments from callers. Thank you for those. Keep them coming, please. But before the break, Zorba, let's do that segment where you get yelled at. This is Disagreeing with the Doc.
Disagreeing with the Doc. Disagreeing with the Doc. Oh, oh.
All right, Zorba, this email came to us from a listener named Mark in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Mark writes, Dr. Zorba, I listen to your program every week. On today's show, you referenced the theme song of the Roy Rogers Show, but you had the lyrics wrong. You said, happy days are here
until we meet again.
Yeah, it's actually happy trails to you.
Oh.
Until we meet again. And yes, you're right, though. Roy's horse was Trigger, which he had stuffed when it died.
That's right. He had stuffed, and I saw Trigger.
Really?
Years ago, I went to the National Cowboy and Western Museum in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Heritage Museum, great museum, lots of saddles. I saw a horse there. I'm not sure if it was Roy's horse, but I definitely saw a stuffed horse there. And I've got to tell you guys, if anyone is ever in Oklahoma City, you've got to go to that museum. It is a wonderful museum. And I got to tell you, before I went in there, I wasn't that interested in saddles. I mean, I'm not a horse rider, but there are a variety of famous saddles there, and they are a thing of beauty.
Cool.
So thank you for correcting me. And once again, here's a shout out for Oklahoma City for the fabulous museum that you have. It is a gem.
All right, Zorba, when something like this happens on the show, I admit I get a little bit excited. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. Well, because I see these moments as an opportunity to create a mashup of two songs that have nothing to do with each other.
Okay.
You know what a mashup is. We've done these before on the show.
Yeah.
Smashing two songs together.
I'm going to listen.
I know it's a little self-indulgent, but I love making these mashups. So let's hear what happens when we mix Happy Trails with the theme song from Happy Days.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
So right, you can't be wrong. Rockin' and rollin' all week long.
So good, Al.
Not so good, Al.
That is really funny. That is really funny.
A little too long, probably. Very self-indulgent.
It brings back fond memories.
Fond memories. I like that.
Fond memories. You got it.
So you think the good doc got the lyrics wrong on the cowboy tune, eh? Pody up and post your grievance on our Facebook page, or you can always send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
All right, we have more of your calls to come. We have another topic to discuss, and Zorba will be answering more of your emails as well, all coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Carl Christensen filling in for Tom Clark on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. 800-462-7413 is the number to call, where anytime you can leave a voicemail for Dr. Zorba, and then stay tuned. You might be on an upcoming episode of the show. But before we hear from more of those listeners, Zorba, they're everywhere. You can't really escape them. Plastics.
Right, of course. You can't escape plastics, you know. I mean, you look at it. What was the movie, you know, going to plastics? I can't remember. You know, all of a sudden I'm blocking on the name.
The Blob?
No, not The Blob.
That wasn't really
It was Dustin Hoffman, and it was The Graduate.
Oh,
Don't
sure.
Don't you remember?
Yep.
Plastics. How right he was. And the reality is plastics have really been a very important part of our life. And they really have changed our lives in many ways for the better. But the problem is, what do we do and how do we cut down from plastics? Because the estimation is that the world is getting more and more filled with plastics because they do not degrade. They're petroleum products. They come out of the ground. And so I think it's very important. And then there are also questions about whether or not some plastics in the food and water supply meaning anything you drink that's liquid, may actually affect you. You know, so when you, Carl, I have to question, when you go and you get a water bottle, do you make sure that it's one of the water bottles that does not have plastics bubbles that will go into your body?
Yeah, I'd say I'd look for the BPA-free label for sure.
Yeah,
that plays BPA-free, a role in the purchase.
That's exactly it. Who knew about that with BPA? How about when you heat things up in the microwave?
Yeah, so when I make like broccoli, you know, those little steamer bags of broccoli that are frozen, it says right on the box, you can just throw the bag in the microwave and it's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't do that. I usually take it out of the bag, put it in a bowl, and then like cover it and steam it.
Right.
That way,
don't you think there may be something that comes out of the plastic when you throw it back?
There's
got to
be something leaching in
there. I mean, you know, it's safe to actually put in the bag, and how lazy are we? We're going to, you know, put it in the bag. How about when you heat up something in the microwave, a liquid, do you heat it up in a cup or do you heat it up in something plastic?
Usually I will not, like, if there's some leftovers in, like, a Tupperware, I'll usually try to put them in, like, a ceramic bowl or something.
How about how about coffee and tea?
Never use a plastic cup for that.
You never use a plastic cup when you do. So I think it's doing that, limiting the use of, you know, makeups. We're looking at polymers and makeups that are not using those little balls. I can't remember what they're called now, that it turned out were very common, are actually doing in the supply. So I think we're not going to get rid of plastics. And plastics are really important. If I look around my office right now, there are many things made of plastics, and they really do help us. But the problem is the disposing of plastics, that's a real issue. And I think it's something for us all to think about and think about moving into this new year, because, you know, we're all ordering things online. How many of those are covered with plastics? What do we do with the plastic stuff that your junk, they're called treasures when you order them online. What do you do with that plastic? What do you do with it?
And the stuff the box is wrapped in, you know, there's plastic
bubble
wrap and all that stuff.
And so
it's everywhere. And
so we, quote, recycle it. How much of that is actually recycled? I mean, I've read things that a lot of the recycling actually doesn't go recycling and ends up going into the landfill. So I think it's for all of us to think about plastic, how it affects us personally, and try to cut down on plastic, cut down on heating things in plastic, and try to get to a more plastic-free environment. Will be good for our body, good for our health, good for our environment, and good for Earth.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. That's the number to call if you'd like to leave us a question anytime. Let's get back to more of those calls right now. Here is a caller in New York City.
Hi. I hit my head last year on a toilet paper dispenser, and I got what I think is a concussion. I saw the neurologist. I had MRIs and CAT, and he said I looked fine for someone my age, 60s, but I'm still getting headaches and a flash of light on the left side of my eye, and I can never drink. If I drink anything alcoholic, I get a headache pretty quickly, which I never really – I mean, I used to get headaches, but not like this. I am going to speak to a neurologist, but I wonder if there's something homeopathic, because this doesn't seem quite right. Okay? So thank you.
Well, she's right. It's not quite right. And when she went to the neurologist, whatever the neurologist said, you know, you're looking good for somebody your age. But the reality is when we get a concussion, it's a serious thing. And the development of post-concussive headaches are, unfortunately, quite common. And if you're a headache person, like a migraineur, somebody who gets migraines, it's even more common. So the question is, what do you do? So first of all, pharmacologically, what can you do? So for some people, taking literally an aspirin tablet a day, a 325 milligram aspirin every day, actually cuts down on their headaches. I mean, something they can do. Some people, they take an ibuprofen up to 200 to 600 or 800 milligrams of ibuprofen in the morning. That'll cut down on their headaches. Aleve, if they take Aleve, which is naproxen, 220 milligrams, one tablet once or twice a day, that'll cut down on headaches too. For other people, it's a matter of looking at the triggers, looking at their diet to see if their diet makes a difference. But then there's another aspect of headaches that can be very worthwhile, that can be meditation and looking at a more meditative way of getting rid of the stress hormones that may be functioning and producing the headache can also produce a reduction of headache. Exercise produces headaches. There are so many things that affect headaches that it's hard to pinpoint on one thing. The other thing I would look at is acupuncture. Acupuncture can be very good for headaches, and doing a 5 or a 10 session acupuncture may be very good. I have a lot of people who say that it works. As you can see, I'm very passionate about headaches because I get headaches. I used to get more migraine headaches, and now as I get older, migraine headaches have really all but disappeared. But I've had a variety of headaches. I've done a variety of things to keep them at bay, so good luck.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, we have some more calls to come, but we always love our listeners posting on the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page. So let's dial up another episode of Facebook Feedback.
Facebook Feedback.
All right, Zorba, this is going to be a Facebook Feedback double shot. And the first message came to us from Bill in Washington State. Bill writes, "Hi, Doc. My daughter is pregnant and will deliver a bouncing baby girl next month. our state protocol calls for pregnant women to be among the first vaccinated for COVID-19. She's very pro-vaccine, but does have some hesitancy about getting this vaccine while she's pregnant. Has there been enough time to discover how the vaccine works on babies in the womb?
No. That's the answer. The answer is no. So what would I do if I were pregnant or if my wife were pregnant? I would say, you know, I think we should just stay safe because I would be concerned. You know, we've got some ideas. I mean, the long-term side effects of the vaccine look really good. That's what we expect. But on the other hand, we don't have enough experience with pregnant women. So even though they say pregnant women should or will be up there to be vaccinated, I don't think I would do that. Now, that may go against what other public health people would be. But in this particular case, I would say I'm not really sure. I'm pregnant. I'm going to really stay safe. That we know is really very important. And of course, young people are much less likely to suffer from COVID than people who are older. And to date, we haven't seen any abnormalities in babies who are born to COVID mothers. In other words, we have a lot of women who have gotten COVID in the country, and they're not producing babies that appear to be sick when they're actually born. So in the body, when women develop antibodies to COVID. So the answer is, from my point of view, I would say, hey, maybe you shouldn't get vaccinated.
All right. Finally, Zorba, the internet is a powerful thing. And as you know, this radio show is transmitted over the air all over the country. However, sometimes it's nice to hear that there are people listening all over the world. So here's a digital message in a bottle from an overseas listener. Hi, Dr. Zorba. My name is Sigdum, and I write from far, far away from you in Bursa, Turkey. I'm listening to you and Tom while by chance searching on the web. You are a very nice and clever man. I like that. Your answers are
it.
So...
I'll take it. Nice and clever. It's okay. Nice I'll take it.
Dr. Zorba. I like that. And your answers are so good and realistic. I'm glad to have found you and listened to your program online. Thank you and have a nice day from Turkey.
How wonderful. Is really, really nice. And it's so neat to see that we actually have an international listening crew out there, because you never know, like you say. I mean, that is quite powerful. Here it is, somebody in Turkey listening. Way to go. Thank you.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right. Let's hear from a caller now in Norman, Oklahoma.
Is that a question? They've legalized all this medical pot here. And I'm just curious about catatonia and how long, and if you do it every day, and what it takes to induce, or just kind of the precautions and dangers of this becoming legal and how people should use it. Appreciate it.
Well, you know, first of all, you know, legalized pot, I think we have to look at that and you know, in a very broad sense. First of all, with alcohol, we make alcohol so that kids who are growing up and their brains are developing will not get alcohol. I mean, that's been a very important thing from our society point of view. And when it comes to pot, I think it's the same issue. You know, in a brain that's growing and developing, in a child that's growing and developing, the use of any kind of inebriant, be it from alcohol, pot, hallucinogens, is not recommended. And for good reason, it's because the brain is developing. I mean, it's simple. How do you keep it away is a totally other thing. Now, as an adult, it becomes a different issue. And as you know, it's been legalized in a number of states. It's medically legalized in a huge number of states because for some people, they find it very useful, especially for chronic pain. So here it is. We have opioids that kill people that are legal in all 50 states for chronic pain. And then we have marijuana, which doesn't kill people, but helps a lot of people with chronic pain. Hey, you know, we ought to have marijuana available for anyone medically who wants to use it for a medical reason because it may work. Now, as for catatonia, that is a psychological issue where people are just, they don't move. If you look it up, they don't do things the way they should be doing. That's really where they need to have a psychiatric referral or a family doc or an internist who really knows how to deal with things like that. The usefulness or lack of usefulness with marijuana, I don't know much about it because I don't think there's any research. Whether or not it can induce it becomes another issue. And like any inebriant, things can be induced that you don't want to have. It's an inebriant. That's what it is. No matter what you do, no matter which way you parse it, it's an inebriant. And if you're prone to it, you might suffer from it, especially if you take too much of it.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. But before we head out today, Zorba, we love it when our listeners offer up helpful information or interesting ideas. So the following tip came to us from Robert, who is a retired information scientist in Knoxville, Tennessee. Robert writes, on a recent show, Dr. Zorba jocularly asked, how long would it take to dig my own grave with a knife and fork? I don't know. Do you remember that, Zorba?
Well, I don't remember it, but I'm sure it's something I would say. Sounds like me.
All right. Robert continues. Well, my estimate is about a month. Okay, hear Robert out here. Ignore the knife and estimate that a fork will hold 1 teaspoon of material.
Okay, got it.
There are 16 teaspoons in a cup, 16 cups in a gallon. Do you have your abacus out right now? Get ready for this.
Okay, got it.
All right, 16 tablespoons in a cup, 16 cups in a gallon, and 7.48 gallons in a cubic foot. If we assume a grave of 8 foot by 2.5 feet by 6 feet deep, the grave volume will be about 120 cubic feet. Multiply these numbers to get roughly 230,000 tablespoons in the grave volume. If Dr. Z digs at the rate of one forkful every 3 seconds, that's 20 per minute, and works a 40-hour week, that's assuming a lot, the result is 4.79 weeks or about a month.
About a month.
What do you think, Zorba? You want to try it?
First of all, this is a great math problem for fifth graders.
How do you dig your own grave?
That's what it is. How do you dig your own grave? It would probably get them kind of interest. But the question is, there's a bigger question here. What if there's clay? What about the rocks? I mean, come on.
Right.
It's
right.
not just dirt. I mean,
right.
that
it's
might
not
be,
just soft
that
soil.
The other question is, does he have too much time on his hands? That's
well, he's a
the
retired
real
information
question.
Scientist. This That's is his
right.
wheelhouse.
That's right. This is the wheelhouse. Actually, you know what? Thank you for sharing. Thank
yeah,
you
thanks,
for
Robert.
Sharing.
That's a lot of, that's a lot of information from an information scientist. Do you have an interesting or at least a morbid tip for Zorba? Come on, coughing it up. Fork it over. We're dying to hear it. Just post on our Facebook page or you can send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org. And Carl, you have missed your calling. You should be in advertising.
All right. Don't dig your own grave, Zorba, please. If you missed anything during the show or you just want to download our show podcast, visit us on the web
at ZorbaPastor.org or, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us anytime to leave us your question at 800-462-7413. And please do visit the Zorba Pastor On Your Health Facebook page for Zorba's frequent coronavirus updates. Zorba Pastor On Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor and Tom Clark, I'm Carl Christensen, asking you to join us on the next Zorba Pastor On Your Health.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.